All right, we're back. Okay.
So would you like me to make a motion to saying that who we would like to have for the new officers?
Yeah, and then you can take an official vote and then that'll be
that's what I'm saying. And then we'll take, then you can take it over again, Doug.
Sounds perfect.
Okay, so we have come to a lovely slate that we would like to have the, it'll be co-chairs. And what we'd like to have is Jan Boyd with Janet Dalgard be the chairs. And we would like to have, the co-chair, the vice chair, we will have Emily, right? Emily Ho, okay. Emily's gonna, she's taking it for the team too. She will be the vice chair. And then we've got even the LDAC with Rachel Hyde. Now, with everybody in favor of our new slate, just do a thumbs up and we'll go right ahead. Okay, the ayes have it. Now, back to you, Doug.
Okay, thank you all for volunteering. Thank you for the peculiar way of doing it, I guess. I don't know.
it's awesome. Friendly.
There we go, friendly. So on in your case, Rachel, I will submit your name to the city council for that, which is just a formality. They will vote on it, which will be a formality, and then we'll send it up to the county. So there's a little bit more of a process for you, but again, the meeting won't be happening for a few more months now. And if you wouldn't mind just talking to Melissa too and let her know as well. I can as well, but it'd be good. Okay. Melissa's a library director at Lake Oswego. All right, so let's go to the strategic goals. So I sent those out to you pre-meeting last month. We had a small chat about it. And I think would be the opportunity if Rick, if you want to pull that up for us to look at those. I also included, I believe our strategic plan that we had already in place just before COVID started, that never got necessarily completely ratified in a formal way by the city council, but nonetheless, we proceed with it. So this one would be then considered an updated version of that we can make into, I like the format that we worked on a few years ago, with it being a single sheet or a one sheet, a broadside, if you will, and that it contained, something that was digestible for most folks, spread across all age categories, something for each of them. But also, I think this one in some form captures what I'd love to have your input is some of the realities of the last 2 years and potentially some of the aspirational things that we're going to try to be working on. And also the kind of the new discovery of a library coming out of COVID, which nobody knows what's going to happen, how we reformat after that. So I think it takes into consideration some of those things that we're trying to work on. So maybe at this point I could answer any questions you might have or any concerns or additions, and we can start that conversation.
What I'd like to do is just reiterate what I said last time. I really like the theme, and I really like the connection to the community and the outreach, and the not expecting everybody to come into the building, but really pushing different ways to engage. And I just think the threads, I like the really strong thread that goes through the whole thing. I think you did a really great job.
Thank you. Anybody else have anything they want to add or subtract or suggest that we consider? Sure, Rachel.
I just had a question. Does the library have a sense for who the library's non-users currently are for outreach purposes, either geographically or demographically?
That's a really good question. We've never done an overlay geographically of where our patrons reside inside the. And as you may know, to inform the rest of everybody, we you're allowed in the county to be have your home library not be in the city that you reside in, as long as you reside in the county. And also we have reciprocals with four other library systems, the two others, Washington and Multnomah County, and also in Fort Vancouver, which is across the river. So if you are live in those areas and you have a card or live in those areas, you can get a Clackamas County card, and you could have Westland as your resident, as your home library, or like Oswego or any of them that you want. So our demographics of card holders is very interesting. I think the best way to kind of, I would ask Rick if in Blue Cloud there was ability to probably off zip code, we could probably see who's inside 97068 compared to what we serve in 97045 or one of the other zip codes. But I would have to see if we have the ability from a geo mapping to be able to overlay that data onto a map and see where our folks are residing inside of our library tax district, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah, just curious, you know, the focus on outreach, I think, is so great. And just thinking about how those, how that could be, how those efforts could be directed to reach non-users, who they are, how best to reach them.
Right. I think that's a challenge that everyone is facing in library land and across the United States. And we're all looking at that. And I think it's also age related. You know, we do know that based on our last kind of census of this, that our library users tend to be, you know, in generalities, young families, people with children, especially those of the younger ages. And then as you get into the high school ages, you know, they're coming in different but smaller groups. And then of course the retirees or the older generation, the folks that's what we tend to see. It's that adult from, let's say, from 30 to 55, that maybe even 25, depending on if they have children or not. That is the uncapturable at this point, or ones that we're trying to capture across the country, that everybody's facing those same things. So we've talked about, you know, in the past about being a third place. We've talked about doing programming, and I'll give you an example of one that we're going to be doing that the foundation has approved funding for, and that's creating 10 separate book titles, four of them being nonfiction and six of them being fiction, popular fiction, for book clubs. So they're book club sets that you would check out as a book club, which is not new or unusual. And I think it's kind of cool as I think our librarians have chosen good books that I think have a wider ability to attract readers from different adult ages. But what the next last thing that they're doing is they're actually going to be working with a bartender mixologist, if you will, to create drinks around each of those titles. So you can watch a Zoom show if you're a book club, pick that, and also be able to make a cocktail that's in relation to potentially that book. That's kind of thinking outside the box, and I think that's really interesting. And some of those kind of things is what I know our adult services librarians, I think Rick could probably talk more about this, are really interested in doing, and how we get those demographics. I do know our adult STEM has been very popular. A lot of folks are coming to get them. And the ones that I find out about are ones that don't fit into that profile per se. They're not necessarily young parents, although there are, and they're not necessarily retirees. They include adults of all ages. And so I think that's interesting. We have a Spice Club doing now that I think is fairly popular. And then there's other things around, you know, more social issues that I think more people are being engaged in our community, at various levels and various age categories. But this is one of the specific things that I'm working on outside of the library as a community services director and over DEI in our community. And that's identifying underrepresented groups that live in our community. We just partnered with an IGA with the county that's using a firm to do an environmental study of all of Clackamas County, but we're spending extra money to focus on West Lynn to identify where people of color are and where they reside in our community. So hopefully after the end of that extensive study, which is going to have a lot of outreach components to it, we'll have a better understanding of that component. We also work with the school district, and we know that there are 17 languages, native languages spoken in our school district. So those are those are families or groups that are coming from another place and speak usually a different language, and English being secondary. So those are, again, that's across Westland and Wilsonville, but we try to identify those groups too. So it's an ongoing process for sure.
Thank you so much. That's so exciting.
Thank you. And we're also have a DEI consultant that we're just about to go into agreement with that we've worked with in the past in the city that has worked with the library as well. And that person has been able to help us identify some things as well that we're doing. We also are doing we just are in the process of finishing up a DEI audit of our collection, as I imagine you are, like Oswego as well, and seeing where our holdings reside in those categories, where we have strengths, where we might need to boast, you know, bring them bigger, and how do we highlight them and how do we promote them in a way that is meaningful in our community and also important for us to engage in. Okay, any other questions about this document? Right, well, I would propose that if you do have things, let us know, but if not, we will kind of take this and put it in with the one that we already have and be able to come back to you next month with that document, so you have the visual as well as the textual component of it together, and you can look at it in that form, and maybe that will be helpful. And then after that, we would, once we get through that process, we would then want to go to put it on the city council's agenda in the future to adopt it, which I think is just more, again, a formality than many things. They may have some questions, but also gives an opportunity for them to potentially see you and talk to you. And, you know, I have every indication that in April, we will be working in person, we're not now, but without masks potentially. So I think it's pretty safe to say that our April meeting could be a hybrid meeting, which all meetings will have to be at this point that are public going forward, because that's the law, but could be at the library if you so choose. And if not, we'll make accommodations like this so that you could be there in a remote fashion virtually. Does that sound like a plan to go forward with? Okay, great. And that's what we'll do. We'll put this to the visual side of it, and we'll bring it together for you and bring it to you in March. Now, March, of course, we probably won't be there yet, as 31st is the date, even though they have said that it could up, depending upon the beds that are being used for COVID at this point. But right now, 31st is the date. So we can talk about it in virtually and then meet in person in April about that. Which leads to the second discussion, is just of date and times and frequency. I had a talk with our city recorder, who's in charge of overseeing these advisory boards. And again, it was a lot of good information that I found out, like, we can be there when you make your decisions about who you want to run the advisory boards, but also there is no monthly requirement or weekly, or the only requirement is that the groups meet once a year. Now, I think that's probably a little light, but I think we have plenty to do more than once a year, but I don't know that it has to be necessarily monthly. And my suggestion would be for us to just continue monthly as we go out of COVID, because I think there's going to be things that come out in the next few months that we'll want to talk about. And we just, and we are working on the strategic plan for going forward. So, but there may be times where, you know, we can get things done, and maybe, you know, as we go forward into the summer, and other times where isn't it as convenient for folks to meet because of vacations and everything else, we can, choose to not do that. I will really leave that up to you, but I want you to let you know that it is an option that is allowed for us through our city charter. So it's. I know there were times where we weren't in COVID meeting at all, but I'm glad that we were back, at least in this format. Look forward to seeing you all in person too. that doesn't necessarily have to happen every month. It can be as needed, but that's just something for you to all make those decisions. We'll be here every month, or we'll be here whenever you decide that it works out best. And also the third thing is the time and the date. So we've traditionally always been the third Wednesday of the month. That again can change at your decision, as well as the time. If 5 o'clock isn't the time, if there's another time or another day of the week that works better, we can make those work. We will do whatever you want, but I would beg for it not to be on the weekend. But if you need it to be on the weekend, we can do that too. But that's something that you can all decide yourselves as well. And we will support that. So those are the things that are on the, in regards to date, time, and frequency that are now clarified. And really a decision that's all up to you as to what you want to do with that. Any questions about that? Okay. Great. Then I think we're back to you.
Okay, well, moving right along. You know, with the changing of a date and time, we can always do like a monkey survey and see which works for everybody, if we all want to do it or change it or keep it. That's a good thing just to do a survey in the future. But right now we're so used to this that we can, you know, address it as it comes.
Right.
Okay, so foundation update. Who would like to do that? Jam, were you there?
I was. And I've pulled up my notes. It was a busy one. We are approving funding for some really exciting projects. The book bundles that Doug mentioned with the mixologist, I just think is super creative. And also I think is a nod to what really happens at book clubs. So I thought that was pretty great. Also, I spent some time in the Book Nook this week. If you haven't had the opportunity to go check it out in a while, it looks terrific. And it's a little bit hidden. In fact, what I thought was the Book Nook, I will just be really honest with you. I didn't realize that, no, it was much more than I thought it was. And so one of the things that they want to do is make it a little bit more visible. So approve some funding to kind of create a way for, I don't even know how to describe it, to get you from the front door to the Book Nook. So that was one thing we talked about. And also attaching, doing some social media posts, Instagram posts around some offerings for Book Nook. So I think my dog is about to start barking. He's got the low growl going. Somebody's going by outside. So those two things. I think Doug can talk to, and Sarah can talk to, some of the classes and workshops that are coming up this summer that sound really interesting for young adult writing, fiction, and fiction for young adults, and then also just writing memoir. Did I describe that right, Doug? So that's great. And then the summer reading, really going big guns on the summer reading program this year. So approving some money from software. And this is, Sarah, can you describe it a little bit about how the connection between the school and the schools, and then over the summer, how that goes?
For sure. Yeah. Well, the general idea is that we're hoping our summer reading program is going to be running smoothly with in-person opportunities, you know, to sign people up, certainly promote it, you know, within the schools, have in-person programming over the summer outdoors is what we're planning on. So the last 2 years, we kind of are very streamlined with our program and with our budget since the library was closed or just open for curbside. So we're really excited about having that engagement and that excitement. And certainly doing a lot of advertising through the schools, creating promotional videos and so on to encourage lots of families to sign up, but also their adults and their family as well.
So I think that's pretty fun. The other thing that I thought was pretty exciting is 8 performances, 4-week series in July, Willamette Park, just fun events for families and kids related to the library. So guess we've got live animals, and we have a reptile show, which I will not attend, and magic shows, and it just sounded great. And then the other thing that we talked about was April 17th through 23rd is Volunteer Appreciation Week. So coming up with some things to give to the volunteers in terms of appreciation. And I thought they were pretty terrific. One is just doing some Starbucks gift cards and candy bags, but then doing a couple of really nice baskets and then raffling those off, or just drawing names, and a couple of volunteers would be able to take home those baskets. So I thought that that was a great idea. I think that's it. It just feels like there's a lot of energy, and it just feels more alive. And I think we're all pretty excited. You know, all of this takes funding. So then we started doing some brainstorming around what those fundraisers will look like. So we'll fill you in on that as we move forward. And that is my report.
Well done. I love the fact that I'm still so impressed that the foundation came through and evolved after the Friends kind of imploded. I mean, this is just so awesome that we still have library support from the community. It's just amazing.
There's some pretty great people on that foundation board. I just feel like I'm kind of along for the ride. They're really super creative and ambitious and just go for it.
Which is great. Yeah. It's what we need.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay. Board comments. Anybody like to share something? Any ideas you want to comment upon? Oh, golly, we're just such a happy little quiet group. Okay. Would someone like then to make a motion to adjourn if we have no comments?
Can you hear me, Janet?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Just one quick thing. It's more of a question for Doug, really.
We like comments, questions. It's the same thing.
So it's really just about the LINC website. And I know it's a consortium, but I was trying to remember if it's ever been updated in the time we've lived here. I mean, I think it's good and operational and functional. I'm just wondering if there's been any talk about updating it, adding more functionality, adding more features to it.
That's a good question. And I'll refer most of it to Rick. I know we're going to be adding something in the very near future that I think will be helpful, but Rick would probably be better at addressing those that question than I would. And then if I have a couple ideas, but I'll let him. And then if not, then I can fill them in.
Yeah, and just to make sure I'm clear on it, Matt, you're talking about the kind of the catalog, right? The LINC piece of the web. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have much more control, of course, over our local site, and we pride ourselves on that and think it's fairly good there. The LINC one, the problem is that we're really handcuffed by the software that we use called the Integrated Library System, which is the software that does all our checkouts and check-ins and all that in the catalog. So there's only so much we can do. It's one of the big bees in my bonnet. I'm really frustrated by it. I don't think it's very user-friendly for patrons to find things. There is a product that our adult services committee, and that's a rep from each library, is looking at called Biblio Commons, which is used in Washington County, might be used in Multnomah County as well. It may not be an option. It may be too expensive, but I think it's a great product because it allows you to combine all your different resources, your online databases and your catalog and all sorts of things, and make them really easy to read and find. So that could make a huge difference if we're able to do that. I think the change Doug is talking about, I think, is the they're going to be adding finally the ability to pay your fines online. So we just started testing that yesterday. I was very excited to play around with it, and it worked really well. So that's going to be an improvement. But for me, and if I'm making a lot of assumptions about what you're asking about, but it's the usability of it and being able to read the search results, and even just the interface when you first get into it is not very attractive. And like I say, unfortunately, we're kind of handcuffed by the software that comes along with this product. So hopefully we'll have this something improved. I think they've done as much as they can to at the county level to make it functional, but I know it's frustrating for them too.
Yeah, thank you for that. I my pet peeve is like, I'll go to search on something and then I don't know. It's just, sometimes it makes you do things 5 or 6 times and people start to get frustrated when it doesn't just take your cursor and let you see stuff right away. So
yeah,
that's just a pet peeve. I know it's probably just from having some software that's been in use for a while. So for overall, I think it's good, but I'm glad to see that you're looking at successors to it.
Yeah. Next time you're in the library, ask them to grab me and I'd be happy to listen to you vent about it. And we can talk specifics. And there are some tips that can make it useful. And one of the things our adult librarians are working on are tutorials that we make that are kind of screencasts of doing searches, and especially with eBooks, because those platforms can be so confusing. And being able to show on the screen what's happening and highlight parts of the screen and give tips, that I think is a real opportunity for us that we should be able to build out in the next year or so. So we started that during COVID. Yeah.
And now, Matt, I wanted to also mention that you brought this up a few months ago about the Find Free and where we were on those kind of things. And I don't have anything to report that's new on those lines, but I will say that it's a conversation that continues to evolve and be happening. I think another thing that we're going to be talking about in the future as directors in the cities is auto renewals, around ideas around that, and potentially just looking at ways in which we can make the experience a little more user-friendly, like you've just mentioned. I think that's what we're trying to do. And I think it's all, you know, there's lots of limitations, but there's also a lot of opportunities, I think, for us to do those. So those are conversations that are happening, and I wanted to relay that to you, that we're working on those things. It's a slow process, but I do think that in the future, we will be in a place that's a little bit different than we are today.
Great, thank you, Doug.
Okay, are there any other questions or comments? No? Well, okay. Would then someone please make a motion to adjourn? Somebody has to say that.
I make a motion that we adjourn.
Great. Can someone second it?
I second it.
Yay. Okay. Thank you, team. And the new board. Yay. Welcome. Yay.
Thank you, everybody. Look forward to it.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.